Chapter 147. A dance in the valley, there were some ill-natured people, tell-tales, it seemed, in Tamai, and hence there was a deal of mystery about getting up the dance. An hour or two before midnight, Ratu entered the house, and, throwing robes of tapa over us, bade us follow at a distance behind him, and, until out of the village, hood our faces. Keenly alive to the adventure, we obeyed. At last, after taking a wide circuit, we came out upon the farthest shore of the lake. It was a wide, dewy space, lighted up by a full moon, and carpeted with a minute species of fern growing closely together. It swept right down to the water, showing the village opposite, glistening among the groves. Near the trees, on one side of the clear space, was a ruinous pile of stones many rods in extent, upon which had formerly stood a temple of Oro. At present, there was nothing but a rude hut, planted on the lowermost terrace. It seemed to have been used as a apahuri, or house for making the native cloth. Here we saw lights gleaming from between the bamboos, and casting long, rod-like shadows upon the ground without. Voices also were heard. We went up, and had a peep at the dancers who were getting ready for the ballet. They were some 20 in number, waited upon by hideous old crones, who might have been duennas. Long Ghost proposed to send the latter packing, but Ratu said it would never do, and so they were permitted to remain. We tried to effect an entrance at the door, which was fastened. But, after a noisy discussion with one of the old witches within, our guide became fidgety, and, at last, told us to desist, or we would spoil all. He then led us off to a distance to await the performance, as the girls, he said, did not wish to be recognized. He, furthermore, made us promise to remain where we were until all was over, and the dancers had retired. We waited impatiently. And, at last, they came forth. They were arrayed in short tunics of white tapa, with garlands of flowers on their heads. Following them were the duennas, who remained clustering about the house, while the girls advanced a few paces, and, in an instant, two of them, taller than their companions, were standing, side by side, in the middle of a ring formed by the clasped hands of the rest. This movement was made in perfect silence. Presently the two girls joined hands overhead, and, crying out, "Alu! Alu!" wave them to and fro, upon which the ring begins to circle slowly, the dancers moving sideways, with their arms a little drooping. Soon they quicken their pace, and, at last, fly round and round. Bosoms heaving, hair streaming, flowers dropping, and every sparkling eye circling in what seemed a line of light. Meanwhile, the pair within are passing and repassing each other incessantly. Inclining sideways, so that their long hair falls far over, they glide this way and that, one foot continually in the air, and their fingers thrown forth, and twirling in the moonbeams. "Alu! Alu!" again cry the dance queens, and coming together in the middle of the ring, they once more lift up the arch, and stand motionless. "Alu! Alu!" Every link of the circle is broken, and the girls, deeply breathing, stand perfectly still. They pant hard, and fast a moment or two, and then, just as the deep flush is dying away from their faces, slowly recede, all round, thus enlarging the ring. Again the two leaders wave their hands, when the rest pause, and now, far apart, stand in the still moonlight like a circle of fairies. Presently, raising a strange chant, they softly sway themselves, gradually quickening the movement, until, at length, for a few passionate moments, with throbbing bosoms and glowing cheeks, they abandon themselves to all the spirit of the dance, apparently lost to everything around. But soon subsiding again into the same languid measure as before, they become motionless. And then, reeling forward on all sides, their eyes swimming in their heads, join in one wild chorus, and sink into each other's arms. Such is the Lori Lori, I think they call it, the dance of the backsliding girls of Tamai. While it was going on, we had as much as we could do to keep the doctor from rushing forward and seizing a partner. They would give us no more evers that night, and Rartu fairly dragged us away to a canoe, hauled up on the lake shore. When we reluctantly embarked, and paddling over to the village, arrived there in time for a good nap before sunrise. The next day, the doctor went about trying to hunt up the overnight dancers. He thought to detect them by their late rising, but never was man more mistaken. For, on first sallying out, the whole village was asleep, waking up in concert about an hour after. But, in the course of the day, he came across several whom he at once charged with taking part in the ever. There were some prim-looking fellows standing by visiting elders from a fret or perhaps, and the girls looked embarrassed, but parried the charge most skillfully. Though soft as doves, in general, the ladies of Tamai are, nevertheless, flavored with a slight tincture of what we queerly enough call the evil, and they showed it on the present occasion. For when the doctor pressed one rather hard, she all at once turned round upon him, and, giving him a box on the ear, told him to, and repair, be off with himself. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.